invest in the basics of public health, and we can save both lives and livelihoods.
The World Health Organization says there is a way out of the pandemic. This is Tuesday, the 11th of August, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, Arash Arabasadi examines the international problem being caused by the mask wars. We'll take you to Hong Kong, where the crackdown on dissidents continues. China hits back against U.S. sanctions with some of its own on some U.S. politicians. It is all on today's VOA Asia. The World Health Organization says leaders who take tough action and persuade their citizens to embrace new and difficult measures to control the spread of the coronavirus will succeed in crushing this deadly disease. Lisa Schlein has more for VOA from Geneva.
Health officials are bracing for another grim landmark this week as the number of COVID-19 cases is expected to reach 20 million, including 750,000 deaths. Despite this disheartening news, the World Health Organization's director general sees what he calls green shoots of hope. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says a number of countries in different regions of the world were able to suppress the virus early on.
New Zealand is seen as a global exemplar, and over the weekend, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern celebrated 100 days with no community transmission, while stressing the need to remain cautious. Rwanda's progress is due to a similar combination of strong leadership, universal health coverage, well-supported health workers, and clear public health communications.
Tedros says countries that have invested in rapid case identification, comprehensive contact tracing, and adequate clinical care for patients have succeeded in breaking the chains of transmission. He says those that have suppressed the virus effectively can safely open up their societies.
Invest in the basics of public health, and we can save both lives and livelihoods. In the countries that have done this successfully, they're using a risk-based approach to reopen segments of societies, including schools. And as they do so, they must remain vigilant for potential clusters of the virus.
Tedros says everyone wants to see children go back to the classroom. However, he warns against reopening schools hastily without assurances that children, staff, and faculty will be safe. Until effective treatment and safe, effective vaccines are available, the WHO chief says the best way countries can protect their people from COVID-19 is to implement basic health measures. These include social distancing, wearing masks, and practicing good hygiene. He adds countries that succeed in suppressing the virus can gradually and safely get their economies moving again. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. Indonesia's Mount Sinabung erupted Monday, sending a huge cloud of volcanic ash and dust as high as 5 kilometers into the sky. No fatalities or injuries had been reported. Taiwan's government says Chinese Air Force jets briefly crossed the midline of the Taiwan Strait Monday and were tracked by Taiwanese missiles. India is imposing an import embargo on 101 weapons and other military hardware items. Officials say these measures are designed to encourage the manufacturing of the defense items in India. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. You are welcome to VOA Asia. Public health experts agree, wear a mask, wash your hands, and observe social distancing. These are the guidelines to help control the spread of the coronavirus pandemic. But as VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports, while global cases approach 20 million, an anti-mask movement threatens containment.
Friday in Sturgis, South Dakota, the 80th annual Sturgis Motorcycle Rally rolled into town despite public health concerns of COVID-19. Rallygoers didn't seem concerned about the advice of public health experts who say social distancing and mask wearing are key to controlling the spread of the virus that's now infected more than 5 million Americans.
No, we didn't take any precautions as we normally don't. We think the majority of this situation is manufactured. There's ulterior motives behind it.
Rallygoers like Jim Bush call risks of contagion overblown, despite mountains of public health evidence to the contrary.
And good afternoon. My administration has...
President Donald Trump has worn a mask in public on rare occasions. Leading U.S. infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci says safety regarding the coronavirus is simple.
That avoid crowds of any type, no matter where you are, because that leads to the acquisition and transmission. And I don't judge one crowd versus another crowd. When you're in a crowd, particularly if you're not wearing a mask, that induces the spread.
Yet a growing movement around the world challenges science and expert advice like those at this anti-mask rally in Stuttgart, Germany.
I'm here because I believe in Jesus Christ. This whole coronavirus is an anti-Christ issue. It is mostly against our Savior, Jesus Christ. Many don't know that. They don't know that it is really against God.
Others call for personal responsibility in protecting public health.
I think it's so selfish. Actually, these rules are necessary at this period of time. Otherwise, this virus can spread so easily. Maybe for younger people, it's not that much awful or dangerous. But on purposely, we can affect other people.
Locals estimate the crowd in Stuttgart at around 2,000, while back in South Dakota, local officials expect roughly 100,000 visitors to the 10-day Sturgis motorcycle rally, which usually draws about 500,000 attendees. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, North Korea's Red Cross has deployed 43,000 volunteers to help communities prevent outbreaks of the coronavirus and provide flood assistance, according to an official with the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. You're listening to VOA Asia. Hong Kong media tycoon and democracy advocate Jimmy Lai was one of seven people arrested Monday on charges of violating the new national security law imposed by China. VOA's Steve Miller spoke with reporter Ria Mogul in Hong Kong about it Monday via WhatsApp.
So police arrested Jimmy Lai, his two sons, and several other staff over alleged violations of the national security law. Now, Jimmy Lai was specifically arrested for collusion with foreign forces. He's a very well-known pro-democracy figure in Hong Kong. He's the owner of Apple Daily, which is, very strongly pro-democracy in Hong Kong. It's a newspaper. And yeah, the media were completely kept out of the loop. In fact, before 10 a.m. this morning, over 200 police officers raided the offices of Apple Daily acting on a search warrant. And there have been several images, videos that have flooded social media showing a large number of officers walking through offices, you know, looking through desks of reporters, looking through files, papers, that sort of thing. You know, and then there were images of Jimmy Lai being escorted from his home in Kowloon to the police station. Now, he's given many interviews in the past saying that it's just a matter of time before he gets arrested.
The Hong Kong Foreign Correspondents Club immediately released a very strongly worded statement condemning the actions against Jimmy Lai and on Apple Daily. What's been the reaction to this development in Hong Kong?
That's right. Yeah, on social media, multiple organizations, including the Foreign Correspondents Club, the FCC, Amnesty International, the Hong Kong Journalists Association, they've all condemned this act. You know, they're calling it a complete erosion of a free press here in Hong Kong. You know, the FCC said, and I quote, that the raids are a direct assault on a free press and press freedom, and called it a dark new phase in Hong Kong and in its global reputation. And a lot of, activists, Joshua Wong, just regular Hong Kong people, have been expressing their sadness, expressing their anger over what's happened here in Hong Kong today. It was pretty interesting to see all of these images being shared so widely of police officers raiding a newsroom. You know, that's pretty unprecedented and it's unexpected. So a lot of people are just quite on edge, and they're very concerned about what's to come and what that means for the future of press freedom, the future of news in Hong Kong.
I suspect discussions are taking place not only about the future of press freedom in Hong Kong, but the future there itself, because the national security law was implemented because of pro-democracy protests. So what are people saying?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because the response from Apple Daily was, you know, pretty straightforward. Reporters live streamed the entire event on Facebook, on their website. And, you know, they remain committed to continuing, their daily work as to be expected. They publish news articles. So people are still going on as if, you know, as if they were in, before these national security laws came into effect. They're still doing their jobs. They're still publishing news articles. Of course, there still is an element of fear. People are still, some people are, you know, not publishing their names, not asking for their bylines to be written down in certain news stories, especially if they're quite controversial or if they talk about the national security laws. But if Apple Daily's response is anything to go by, they live streamed the entire event. That's why we have all of these images of the police raiding their offices and going through files and cabinets and things like that. So people are still pretty committed, and in fact, very committed to reporting the facts and reporting what's going on here in Hong Kong.
Ria Mogul reporting from Hong Kong.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. South Korean President Moon Jae-in replaced some of his senior aides on Monday as part of a shakeup aimed at jacking up approval ratings amid criticism over skyrocketing home prices. All of the big stories come your way throughout the day at VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. U.S. Health Secretary Alex Azar offered President Donald Trump's strong support for Democratic Taiwan Monday, telling President Tsai Ing-wen that her government's response to the coronavirus pandemic had been among the world's best. Gloria Tso reports.
U.S. Health Chief Alex Azar met with Taiwan's leader on Monday and offered the island President Donald Trump's strong support. Azar's visit is a landmark meeting. He's the highest-level U.S. official to go to Taiwan in four decades. His trip angered China, which claims the Democratic Island as its own. It's ratcheting up already soaring tension between the U.S. and China, and Beijing has promised unspecified retaliation. During his visit, Azar praised Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen and her government's response to the global pandemic as among the world's best.
Again, I am grateful to President Tsai for welcoming us to Taiwan, and I look forward to using this visit to convey our admiration for Taiwan and to learn about how our shared democratic values have driven success in health.
Meanwhile, Tsai told Azar his visit represented a huge step forward in anti-pandemic collaborations between our countries, specifically mentioning vaccine and drug research and production. Taiwan has also expressed gratitude for U.S. support of its bid for greater access to the World Health Organization, particularly attendance at the World Health Assembly. Taiwan is currently not a member of the WHO due to China's objections, a decision which Tsai criticized again on Monday.
I would like to reiterate that political consideration should never take precedence over the right to health. The decision to bar Taiwan from participating in the WHA is a violation of the universal right to health.
Washington first broke off official ties with Taipei in 1979 in favor of Beijing, but the Trump administration has made boosting arms sales and strengthening its support for the island a priority.
That was Reuters' Gloria Tso reporting. China has announced unspecified sanctions against 11 U.S. politicians and heads of organizations promoting democratic causes. Charles Deledesma has more.
Those affected include Senators Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, who've already been singled out by Beijing. The foreign ministry says the 11 had performed badly on issues concerning Hong Kong, where China has cracked down on opposition voices following its imposition of a national security law. The number of Americans named by the ministry exactly equals the number of Hong Kong and Chinese officials placed on a sanctions list by the US last week over the crackdown. I'm Charles Deledesma.
Other U.S. politicians named by the foreign ministry included Senators Josh Hawley and Tom Cotton and Representative Chris Smith. Heads of organizations, including the National Endowment for Democracy and Freedom House, also were named.
How to stay healthy. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses.
You're listening to VOA Asia. Meet Cynthia Reyes, whose family has been living a nightmare. Reyes recently lost her father to COVID-19. With no time to mourn, the 35-year-old woman who has diabetes, asthma, and rheumatoid arthritis also got the virus along with family members. Reyes lives in California's Imperial County, a farming region along the Mexican border with one of the state's highest coronavirus infection rates. VOA's Mariama Diallo has this report.
Dr. Tian Vo is making one of his last stops of the evening. His visit takes him to the home of Cynthia Reyes. Sitting on a reclining chair at her bedside, Reyes tells him she's finding it difficult to get up and move around.
I can't catch my breath. Takes me a long time to get to the restroom. I feel like I'm going to faint.
A picture of her dad taped on a vanity mirror is a fresh reminder that he's no longer with them.
My dad passed away. The 17th. My mother had coronavirus.
Her mother, Margarita Reyes, says it's been a nightmare for the family. They haven't had time to process what has happened.
To grieve for my husband. I just have to be like on top of her, helping her.
Dr. Vo is the founder of two local medical centers that bear his name. He says a week later, Cynthia's symptoms had improved, but she was a long way from full recovery. His clinics have done more than 27,000 coronavirus tests since the end of March, with a positive rate between 25 and 30%.
We feel really, really, desperate. We need help. We need to get better.
They live in California's Imperial County, a farming region along the Mexican border. With a population of a little over 181,000, it has more than 9,500 cases. That translates to more than 5,100 cases for every 100,000 people, nearly triple hard-hit Los Angeles County. El Centro Regional Medical Center briefly stopped taking patients in May. Its CEO, Dr. Adolph Edwards, says many residents come in with pre-existing conditions.
It is the perfect storm, and it includes things outside of our control. I tell people by the time you come to the ICU, it's kind of late for you because the community already had high rates of asthma and diabetes.
Because of a lack of beds, more than 600 coronavirus patients had to be transferred to hospitals elsewhere in California. State and federal aid poured in, making it possible to set up an 80-bed hospital in a community college gymnasium.
Well, I would ask the federal government, I'd ask the state government to rethink its strategy down here, and I would beg them to look at increasing our budget so that we can care for more people.
The jobless rate in the county was about 27% in June. At a weekly donation drive, hundreds lined up. Demand is up 50% since February, says Sarah Griffin, the Imperial Valley Food Bank Executive Director.
Our county is working so hard with the few resources we have to try to mitigate things as much as possible, and it's spiraling out of control.
About 240 people have so far died from the virus in a county that is largely Latino and low income, groups that have suffered disproportionately from the virus. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
We continue with VOA Asia. New York City's famous Broadway shows were put on hold when the coronavirus pandemic hit the United States, and though the bright signs with pictures of Aladdin and Lion King are still there, the actors and audiences will not come back into the beautiful halls to enjoy the performances until at least the winter of 2021. Jenny Maslov has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
Every year, more than 14 million people come to see one of New York City's famous Broadway shows. In 2019, these performances brought in well over $1.7 billion. But since March, the theaters have been empty, and Broadway could be facing a record-setting year-long break. Theater critic Michael Riedel believes the theaters won't spring back to life until there is a vaccine against COVID-19.
There is no possibility of Broadway or concerts or anything live, any live events coming back until there's a vaccine. One, the actors can't do it, because how are you going to do Romeo and Juliet when they both have masks on? It's going to, you know, kill the romance. The musicians do not want to be in the pit of an orchestra until they feel safe going there, because as you know, with the vaccine, if you're blowing on the flute, on the trombone, it's going to spread the virus. So they're not going to go back to work.
The most popular Broadway shows like Hamilton, Phantom of the Opera, and Lion King will likely survive the unprecedented break. But some of the less famous ones might have to close, and the sad process has already begun.
The biggest one is Frozen, which is the Broadway show that was frozen, but the pandemic is not going to thaw. It's done. There are a couple others.
But even those that survive will have to adjust to the new reality. The industry will have to review its pricing policy and compensation to those who work behind the scenes, musicians, set and lighting designers.
You cannot reopen Broadway when there's a vaccine and say, hey, by the way, Hamilton's back on the boards and you pay $1,200 to see it. That's not going to happen. Ticket prices will have to come down to a reasonable level.
But how to do that is a tough question for industry leaders. One of the oldest theater companies, the Schubert Organization, owns 17 theaters on Broadway. They were forced to furlough a lot of their employees, but have proven resilient over time.
The Schubert Organization, which is the the foundation of Broadway, the anchor of Broadway, that has survived. The Schubert survived the Great Depression. They survived September 11th. They survived the collapse of New York City in the 1970s, when the city was perceived as so dangerous nobody would want to come here. They survived certainly Hurricane Sandy. They have survived everything.
Broadway isn't just about Broadway, but also New York City as well. The industry pumps money into the city and supports thousands of jobs. A vibrant theater industry funds hotels, restaurants, and stores near Times Square. For many, when Broadway comes back, New York City is back, with all its hustle, bustle, and shine. For Evgeny Maslov in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. And you can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Please stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.